listening to Fox Sports Radio. This is Straight Outta Vegas. With the voice of Vegas, your host, RJ Bell. The pregame show America has always wanted. I doubt the future. I doubt the future. From the Vegas Strip, here's RJ Bell.
That's right, you heard it. I'm RJ, live from Las Vegas, live on a Tuesday, broadcasting on 225 FSR stations across this great nation. You know, we're going to have to leave with it again. Jonas, well-deserved vacation. Back tomorrow, I think. Sports bettors listen for the money. Sports fans to know more than their buddies. Steve Fezzik, one of the pros who knows, in studio, live. Coming up, we're going to say, Peter King, you think you know football? You don't know, like, Fezzik. How many super contests you got? Three big disagreements. Peter King's power ratings came out. But first, now, yesterday we spent more than half the show talking about the unrest, the protest, and all of that. And I felt like that we filled in a space with Straight Outta Vegas that we had some angles, I think, and perspectives that were fresh, and we got a lot of good feedback on that. Thank you so much. And like anything, you're gonna, you know, the Godfather, some people think it stinks. I mean, as crazy as that is, but it was very encouraging. I believe the following: to whatever degree that Monday was unusual, as in, well, you know, it's a sports show, but you got to talk about this because it's such a big deal. It's so unusual. And the fact that we did for more than half the show, we agreed with that. Producers, everything. It was like, yeah, this is noteworthy. It needs talked about, whatever side you're on. I think today is more unusual. You might say, what do you mean? It's like, if you would have told me how many times in the next 10 years will there be unrest that, you know, starts midweek. Doesn't matter if it's left or right that's not happy. It's none of that. It's saying in this political system, democracy, republic, United States has, how unusual is X or Y that it would then get into a sports show where it would get in. You know, it's almost like what sporting events get on the nightly news. It's a high bar, right? If you would have said how many times would have happened generally happen in the next 10 years, and then say how many times would happen yesterday, Monday, throughout the day and the night happen, I would say what happened Monday was less likely. It will be less common. I hope that this kind of unrest never happens again, but history tells us that's unrealistic to think so. And that's lamentable, but it just is. And we look square in the eye of truth here, because if you don't do that, you can't win at gambling. And that's just in our blood, even when we apply it to other things. I'm RJ Bell. We are Straight Out of Vegas. And the reason is this: the weekend's the weekend, and people got more free time. The reality is, unless you're one of the true believers, if you're going to go down to a protest, you're thinking, can I get a babysitter? You know, can I, you know, what's the alternative? Now, listen, there's certain people that's going to be there no matter what, right? And those are the true believers. And, you know, like the Occupy Wall Street, they were living there. They believed so much. The kind of crowds you saw over the weekend were weekend crowds. And then 4 or 5 days going into the sixth day, the idea that it didn't lose momentum, but if anything, escalated in a way. I mean, if you just, and I didn't do the mathematics on this, but if you look at the, you know, in Vegas, there were 2 police officers shot. And I don't think there was, and again, this is Vegas, and I know there were other shot throughout, and obviously protesters have been injured or shootings. I'm not sure if there's been cops shooting protesters in any given situation. I'm not saying it's impossible. I don't have it. All I know is generally as an observer, Monday surprised me that it still continued with such fervor after a weekend. And that, if anything, the amount of violence seems to have escalated. I think it's important to note that, because the shows on Monday were wall to wall. This, not ours any more than, probably a little less than most, but all the shows seem to be pretty much wall to wall. The idea that today it wasn't so much, I think today's a tougher conversation. And I want to keep it super narrow, because I've been thinking about this a lot. And I don't say this much about things that are not sports betting related. I think I got an important point to make here. I think I usually have smart points, Fez, would you say?
Always.
No, not always. 99.9% maybe. come on. I'm not saying always, but yeah. That's Steve Fezzik. People, I've been listening to the debate. I've been listening to both sides. And what we talked about yesterday was that mostly people, as much as we don't want to hear this, if you're passionate about your side, listen. You know, people mostly agree about the big things. And as we talked about yesterday, almost everyone agrees that an innocent person should not be killed. People might say, hey, if he was passing a counterfeit 20, he got what he deserved. No. That's the fringe. That is the crazy, you know, way out there. I'm not talking 10% on the edge. I'm talking 1/10 or, you know, whatever. It's way out there. Now, those that are misanthropic, not lovers of people, skeptics of people's goodness, might say, oh, no, that's higher. Okay, what number is it? It's not 1 out of 20, so it's 95%+. And then you go to the other end of the spectrum, whatever the political question is, and in this case, that position would be from the left, the progressive side. Most people believe that most cops are good. They don't. Most people on the left don't think that a majority of the cops are looking around for chances to kill people for fun or out of hate. They might say more cops have hate in their heart than they think and bias in their heart. Yeah, that's all debatable. But on the fringe, normal people don't want, average America, flyover people, they don't want people unfairly killed, and progressives don't think that all the cops are all a killing gang, right? That's a lot of agreement. As we said yesterday, for reasons such as posturing politically, the whole if you act like you're contented, you don't get more. Negotiation 101 stuff is you don't concede points. You don't give anyone credit. And that's the funny thing. When I think about what disturbs me most or makes me the most pessimistic about us growing as a society or improving as a society, Fez, when you and I are debating a point, and let's say there's a point, I'll give you an example. You believe NFL teams tank. Just year after year, you'll enter the season. I mean, you can do it like clockwork, is you hear Fez go, you might even say something like,
here's a theory for you to disregard completely.
And then you'll say, I think the Miami Dolphins are tanking this year.
How could they not be? They lose 59-10 and then, 43-0 after 2 weeks?
Well, you said this before the season.
But after week two, I doubled down and I said, RJ, I don't know if the Dolphins are going to win a game.
And what does RJ always say?
RJ says,
these NFL, these are professionals. They got pride. Now,
exactly.
Here's the point of this. Fez, I think you've come around a little bit towards me. Wherever you were before, you're more towards me now.
Absolutely.
On that topic.
Absolutely. The only exception might
well,
be.
Yeah.
It's rare and far between.
Doesn't even matter. You came from where you were to closer to me. Now, I have two ways to approach that. One is to say, well, he's weakening. So I'm going to make him feel even worse. I'm going to try to demonize. I'm going to make him feel worse for whatever remnants of this belief that I disagree with he still has. Or I can say, huh, the hardest mile is that first mile to open up your mind that maybe your basic premises are wrong. And the fact that you're shuffling this way is a heck of a statement that you're keeping an open mind. And that means that we're having a true dialogue. Let's keep it going. I got to tell you, when I've seen intractable people, when someone's stuck in a position, when they take a half a step away from that, there should be trumpets in the background. There should be a celebration. It's not what happens in the political system in this country, in the political debate. What happens is everyone believes their position is God's. You know, it's like Dylan has a song with God on our side and saying we can win. You know, it was written in the 60s and it was like, hey, we fought WW1 with God on our side, WW2, you know, and the implication of the song was, boy, God wasn't on any of the opponent's side. Like, we, you know, and no one thinks God's on the opponent's side, right? And maybe it's not God. Maybe it's righteousness, the arc of justice and that rainbow over the, you know, we know it arcs towards justice. Whatever your North Star is politically, you believe you're right about that. Or how, why would you have the position, right? And thus, anyone who's less believer than you is somehow flawed intrinsically. It's a character issue. The harshest responses you will ever see politically are conservatives against what they call beta conservative or cucks, as in they're conservative in name only, kind of rhino you hear, and Republican in name only. And then you look on the other side and a guy like Bill Maher, who is certainly towards the left, when he disagrees with the orthodoxy on the left, oh my gosh, on Twitter, he gets killed. And in general, when one of your own isn't all the way in on everything, is when people get the maddest. And that goes to show you how in the heck is that group that's on the other end of the spectrum ever going to come in your direction? Let's say you are right, whatever the conversation is. How are they going to come in your direction if the steps along the way get more painful, right? I mean, you look at AA, let's give AA credit. As a recovery program, the 12 steps, you know, I've watched NYPD Blue, I've seen Sipowitz, I've watched a lot of shows. I haven't read books on it, I don't know it deeply, but I do know there's a huge deal about that first admission, that standing up and saying, here's my name, I'm an alcoholic. And the idea that that's embraced, that you got... To me, when someone disagrees with you and they take a half a step in your direction, celebrate. It means the conversation's working. And if you are moving in a direction and the other party's hitting you harder as you step towards them, I don't think most people keep going in that direction. And a lot of people will say, well, RJ, I'll tell you why we do that. Because life itself is at stake. If this was a matter that wasn't as important, yeah, we could accommodate the slow people, the people who aren't getting it, the ignorant. But no, life, there's been enough death. Life's at stake. And in a way, that makes you stop and say, huh. But that is 180 degrees wrong. And the reason is simple. The higher the stakes, the more you got to do whatever it takes to make progress. You see what I'm saying? The idea, if you and I are fighting over a heads-up card game, like you and Mackenzie from pregame.com and research are playing a heads-up card game, $1,000, right? It's like over a couple of weeks. You guys, I mean, $1,000, you know, it's money. I mean, you just shrug. I know. It's real money. But for you, it's no big deal. And you know what? It makes a ton of sense. You're going to be like throwing chips. You're going to be having fun. Because what? Because the stakes aren't high. If you were playing for $1 million, it'd be totally different.
Exactly. Because then the money would be what mattered. Now it's the bragging rights that matter.
Yeah, it's winning the debate. And in a way, the politicians, even the true believers, are usually the ones that get a lot of heat because Obama disappointed a lot of the left because the theory was he didn't do enough. And the point of this is this. When the stakes are as high as life and death, and it's on both sides. The abortion argument for the right is they consider to be about life and death. And obviously, this debate with social justice and the police and violence, life and death. The idea that no politician that's ever effective ever makes the true believers happy. Why? Because they have to compromise along the way. Why do they compromise? Because the stakes are so high. So to close on this, if you really think about it, close your eyes unless you're driving and say, I want to think where I'm at on this political discussion with the cops, minorities, all that, and think, where am I at and where is an opponent of mine? It might be President Trump. It might be whomever. Right? Think of who you think is your nemesis in this regard. And then say, how do we bridge this distance? And what I'm sure of is hating the other one's not going to help that. You might say, you can't negotiate with terrorists. You can't. Okay, fine. Then accept you're going to be in this. Like, there's been wars. There's been disagreements, religious disagreements that's gone on for hundreds of years. Just go to the Middle East. Take a look. All right. So, yeah, if you want to accept it's going to be like that forever. But if you don't want to accept that, how do you get it? Might be that person coming all the way to you. That might be what you think. OK, fine. Even that. How does it happen? And what I know for sure is you're not going to get it all at once. And you might say, well, I can't accept death. Death is not. Well, if you have to choose between a certain number of deaths or half as many. Do you say, no, we'll take them all? And I get it. These are tough decisions. That's why protesters don't make decisions like this. It's the people at the top. It's the elected officials. But the tenor set by the people on the ground matters. And I'm not saying care about it any less. In fact, I think if you really think about it, if you care about it as much as you show, you would be more careful about creating an environment that lets progress happen. Because it's easy to demonize. I don't care which side. I'm not talking about either side. It's easy to demonize. It's harder to say, you know something? You're not just flawed. You have your perspective. You have your experience. You haven't walked in my shoes. And I'm not saying you have to agree with them when you don't agree. I'm saying understand the stakes are high enough that trying to find a way to get closer, doesn't matter who's moving to whom, any of that should be supported, and it should be really your goal. Because the day that your opponent's going to stand up and go, you know, I've been wrong the whole time, 120%. I want to apologize to you that I've been so wrong. It's not going to happen. All right. When we come back, sports. You think I was mad? I wasn't mad. You think I was passionate? Fezzik against Peter King heads up. Peter King is wrong, what, three different teams?
He is.
Big time wrong.
Big time.
You'll hear that when we come back. We are straight out of Vegas.
Straight out of Vegas!
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Out of Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
I'm RJ Bell. We are straight out of Vegas. Jonas, second day of his well-deserved 2 days off. Back tomorrow, Steve Fezzik in studio. I'm RJ Bell. I would say we're the fastest growing show on Fox Sports Radio, but because of the import of today, I'm not going to. Well, I just did say. Yeah, fastest growing show on Fox Sports Radio. Up over double our audience in the last year alone. Thank you so much for that. And thank you for the good feedback on the last couple of days. Right here in Las Vegas, on the strip, 99 degrees. The neon is still off. It's supposed to be on Thursday. I think it'll be on. A lot of people saying, oh, all this tumult is going to cause Vegas not to open up. When were we shut down before this?
Never.
Think about it. You go back to the 60s, the 50s. We weren't, 9/11 didn't shut down for a minute. It's always nice. If you grew up in a small town, there's usually a certain person or people who are doing the same thing at the same time. Every day, There was a guy we knew. He was older. His name, everyone called him Bird because he looked like Larry. He looked like Larry Bird that, you know, maybe hadn't gone to the dentist. You know, like a beat up Larry. Didn't have quite the same jumper. He was 6'2 instead of, you know, 6'7. But he walked like no one's business. He would walk, I think, like 30 miles a day, I would have to think. And you would just see Bird walking the streets. And like it'd be raining. He'd have like garbage bags over him and duct tape, still just walking. There's something crazy, but there's also something comforting.
You could count on Bird
you
when
you're
driving around.
That's the great way to say it. You can count. You could have counted on Bird to have, make you swing around as you were driving by him. Exactly. Vegas is like that. I mean, I've told the story. The idea that I've seen two people die at the poker table. And both times they were, not those people were playing. Yeah, really, what was, that was fascinating. It's like, it's like two people died and you hear Fezzik's mics going, what's wrong with you?
I just had a mental picture of the degenerate poker players that sometimes show up at
Howard Stern used to have, you know, Jackie the Joke Man had a very specific laugh. And years after he left the show, when there'd be like a tragedy, like there'd be like 17 kids died in a bus crash, and you'd hear the drop at Jackie's laugh going, hee hee hee, in the back. Fez, we didn't need to fake it with you. Just to be clear, that was you laughing.
It was.
You were thinking about trying to lie right
I was
there,
thinking
right?
about the Mirage Poker Room, yes.
But the truth is, I've seen two die, and they were playing, those same people except the dead guy, we're playing cards within 5 minutes at another table. Now, you could say, oh, my God, they don't understand what really matters. Or you could say they love their gambling. And there's a comforting in that, or comfort in that, I believe. And the idea of Vegas shutting down, I hate that we got shut down more for this. Well, more than that. Again, it was never. I mean, never, and then it's been months.
And you saw the
I'm
impact.
I'm not saying it's wrong or right. I'm saying it's, I hate it.
But you saw the impact on me, like in April. You're like, Fez, are you okay? Come on.
That's just money. If you had another street, a flow of money coming in, you could care less about the casinos. I mean, I'm not saying after a couple months you wouldn't be missing it, but it wouldn't be on your face. Well, listen, whenever you start saying something and you're given any answer other than the money's driving me, just stop, because it's not true.
Agreed.
That's Steve Fezzik. I'm RJ Bell. Let's talk about Peter King. He came out with his 1-32, and you have three teams that you disagree with massively. Team number one.
Peter King has the Las Vegas Raiders overrated. King has the Raiders number 8. RJ, 8. I got the Raiders 24.
Number 8. That's almost incomprehensible. Read the team. You got his list right there?
I do.
Read the teams that are 9, 10, 11, and 12.
Dallas, 9.
All right, so Dallas is better than the Raiders. Okay. Peter King, I'll give a minus 130. heads up, number of regular season
number
wins?
Number of wins, yeah.
All right. Minus 130, can bet up to 100K. Open, I'm not soliciting, but if you reached out, I might be receptive. Go ahead.
Number 10, Pittsburgh Steelers.
I would bet that for sure, Pittsburgh, but I think they're such a high variance team, I wouldn't be comfortable with it. I think Pittsburgh could be the fifth best team. They could be the 20th best team.
11, Minnesota Vikings.
Oh, my gosh, Minnesota. He thinks the Oakland's better than Minnesota. All right, Peter King, 100,000. You know, how many times have I done this? I mean, we're in 225 cities. It's Colin Cowherd, Doug Gottlieb, and us. They're hearing us. We're calling them out.
I don't think your phone will be ringing.
Give me one more team.
12, Green Bay Packers.
The 13-3 Packers. Maybe he just loves Vegas. All right, that's insane. In fact, I think you should have said, I'm not even going to talk about that one because it's so obvious. I mean, what's the best thing about the Raiders? Let's try to see his perspective. What's the best thing about the Raiders? Meaning, what are people maybe underestimating about the Raiders?
Young talent that played well in the first year.
The theory is year two, there's a leap.
Yep, Jacobs, the running back, could be really good. Waller, their tight end, could become one of the best tight ends in the league. Yes.
I'm skeptical. I'm not skeptical about AutoZone. They have more ways for you to get what you need when you need it. With their free same-day pickup, you can place your order online and grab what you need today at more than 5,700 AutoZone locations, in-store or curbside. Visit AutoZone.com. Start your job fast. Get in the zone. AutoZone. Fez, team number two you disagree with Peter King.
Team number two, Peter King has the Tampa Bay Buccaneers overrated. Peter King has them number five.
All right, so he has Tampa Bay number five.
I have them number 12, and I got to be honest,
Number
12.
12, okay. Go ahead.
Peter's rating is more similar to what I'm hearing from the national media. Most people do have Tampa Bay in the top seven, so this is the team.
Top seven. How'd you get that number?
It just seems like when I look at rankings, people are putting Tampa.
So not top eight, not top six, top seven.
Top seven.
All right.
I just don't see it. I think that
that's some great analysis.
I don't see.
Hey, I heard Frazek on SOV. It was like, well, he's down on Tampa.
The quarter.
Why is it? Doesn't see it. Doesn't see it.
Everyone else is giving Tampa a massive upgrade for Tom Brady versus Jameis Winston. And although my ratings have Brady a little bit of a better quarterback, I got Brady as a below-average quarterback. I don't see how Tampa's...
Well, let's be clear about that. You have Brady as a below-average quarterback.
I do.
Your rankings 1 to 32 is?
19.
Last year, QBR is a ranking we believe in. He was what?
17.
And the theory is he's getting older.
43.
And the theory is that whatever he gains from better weapons, because, you know, the apologists are going to say it's about the weapons or lack thereof last year. Whatever he gains from those new weapons, he loses with unfamiliarity with the system.
Yep, going deep to Evans, deep to Godwin.
Those are two separate things, though. It's a new system.
Mm-hmm.
And with the COVID-19 and all, it's going to be tough to get into it and learn it fast. Number two is it's a system that doesn't seem to be built especially for his talents at his age, which he doesn't want to take hits. And his deep ball, though, you can look at certain stats and say Brady's deep ball hasn't been in his big advantage in the last couple of years. Is that the thinking why he does worse than even last year's results, you're saying?
Yeah, I just can't see Tom Brady suddenly wanting to do the old don't risk it, no biscuit that Arians loves, throwing the ball deep down the field into coverage.
But he's going to have to try it, right? But what you're saying is if he tries even with 5% of doubt, now he's throwing balls away.
Yeah.
He's not stepping up in the pocket. And how would you characterize Tampa Bay other than Brady? Gronk obviously is a big name. I think he'll be underwhelming. What's his over-under for yards?
590.
So if you put another tight end in that starting position, what's the over-under for yards?
450.
Yeah, so in the scheme of things, a pretty modest, if anything, that $10 million could have been spent better, you got to figure.
Yes.
Anything you see anything else major? I mean, their defense certainly has not. I know they were underrated last year, Tampa Bay's defense, but it hasn't gotten better on paper.
Exactly. And their numbers were good on defense last year, but...
Well, listen, we trust the numbers, right? Meaning, I would make the case the entire premise of our lives is that the numbers tell you more than the scores and the public follows the scores. So what are you going when you go, the numbers?
Tampa Bay had a lot of games last year that they were trailing and their opponents were running the ball more than they would have been.
So I'm confused why when you agree with the numbers, we never hear these qualify. Why don't we accept that numbers are imperfect, but they're much better than scores?
Yes.
But you can't selectively say, I'm going to talk about the imperfection of numbers. It's almost like saying you have a tape measure and you're measuring something. And it's off by a 16th of an inch. I mean, you just know it. You measure something and you like it, 7 inches. Measure something you don't, 5 inches. But you know this rule is off. You're using the same ruler in both measurements.
You're right.
I know that. I'm here. Can you understand to stop doing it? You're done.
Tampa's defense is slightly above average. My issue is with their offense that everyone believes is suddenly going to be elite, and I'm not buying it.
Hey, this is a listen, I love this fade. I agree with you. this is a perfect storm, Tampa Bay, of the NFL for once. You have a fan base. You have a lot of fans, a lot of squares, a lot of Barney at the bar types, Freddie Fanny Pack. These are people who don't get into the analytics. And they know the Tom Brady name. They know the Gronk name. Think about the history of the NFL. When there was a team that would have been better 5 years ago, this is a good threshold to ask yourself. This exact same team, would they be better today or 5 years ago? If the team would clearly have been better 5 years ago, they rarely, if ever, win anything. I'm not saying they don't win some games. Think about the Eagles a while back where they had the best team 5 years ago.
Yes.
Right? Is any team, if anything, the question is you start cutting these guys. I'm not saying Brady deserves to be cut. But the idea that, I mean, listen, Belichick's a genius. I'm not saying he's right about Brady or Brady. Brady can have a good year left in him. Doesn't mean it wasn't the right decision to move on. Who knows what was happening there? I don't. People that are my contemporaries or whatever on radio are saying, oh, we know that. You don't know anything. You, even if you have some direct source inside, that's one person's perspective. It's just we don't know. What we know is the Patriots have won about double as much by the metric of playoff wins than any team in the last 20 years. Almost double. And thus, what has Belichick done the whole time? He's cut guys a year early instead of a year late. Gronk, he wanted to trade him before to the Lions. So the idea that having an old-timers team is a way to win in the NFL, history says no.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
We're going to take our last break. When we come back, you think it's crazy that Peter King thought the Raiders was the eighth best team? I do. Even crazier is what someone on ESPN said about who he would pick at quarterback, how early he would pick him. It is crazy times two. We'll be right back, straight out of Vegas.
Straight out of Vegas!
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
I'm RJ Bell. We are straight out of Vegas. Jonas Knox, last segment out until tomorrow. He's back. Well-deserved couple days off. I'm RJ Bell. We got Steve Fezzik in studio, and Fezzik is telling us where Peter King is wrong. Who's Peter King? Fez is saying. In a way, you're saying you're trying to invalidate the man. Is that true, Fez?
Yes, that's true.
Is that right? You have a personal vendetta with Peter King?
Well.
Or is it anyone more famous than you?
After looking at these numbers.
Which one is it?
Little
is it
both.
Peter King you don't like or anyone more famous?
Little both.
So you hate me?
I didn't say that.
You try to hide it. You don't. All right, Peter King. It'd be funny if someone listened for the first time. He's like, what is going on? They're like, RJ's tough, that's all. His poor wife. Raiders, Peter King crazily has eighth best team. Fezzik says, no, 24. By the way, I extended Peter King a $100,000 bet. If he wants to take it, I'll give him odds. Haven't heard from him yet. Tampa Bay, Peter King has number five. A lot of people have Tampa highly rated. Fez says, no. He doesn't see it. It's number 12. Last disagreement, the Eagles. Peter King has the Eagles number 15, right? Pretty much in the middle. Fez, you think they're underrated. The Eagles are underrated by Peter King. You've got the Eagles at?
Number 7. And it's all about the injuries last year for the Eagles. Let's face it, they didn't have one wide receiver to go over 500 yards. We talk about 1,000 yards being a good season. Eagles didn't even have a receiver at 500 yards. DeSean Jackson only played 3 games. Jeffrey only played 10 games. So Carson Wentz was compromised on offense. He was having guys off the practice squad he was able to throw to on offense. Eagles, of course, had injuries on the defensive side as well. With a much healthier team, Eagles are clearly a top 10 team. I have them my 7th best team.
Okay, great analysis. So just to, I think I always love to take a specific game and grow it out to a general concept. What are the ways that teams can be over or underrated from the prior year? Close wins is one of them. When you have a bunch of close wins, like Green Bay, you tend to be overrated. Close losses, you tend to be underrated. A bunch of turnovers, because turnovers have a factor of luck in them, a big factor of luck. If you got unlucky, and listen, people do get unlucky sometimes, it tends to even itself out. I mean, listen, this isn't like one of the examples of, you know, the do theory, right? So some people hear the do theory and it makes sense to them, but that is actually something that is just plain wrong. Quickly explain the do theory.
Do theory is Bengals lose 5 games in a row. Hey, they're due to win one, right?
Yeah, and they have the same chance to win that next game in theory, but in the long run, over hundreds of thousands of repetitions, they're going to win the number of games they're supposed to win, I guess, like whatever the truth of them is. But the reality is that in any 5 or 10 or 20 game sample, it's not about being due. It's about how has the public adjusted based upon the perception of the team, and that they've gotten cheap or expensive based on wins and losses. So in general, if a team wins a bunch of games, yeah, they're better than we thought. But usually you want to fade that team because the public thinks they're much better than we thought. So the public just overreacts to small sample sizes. And whenever you have something like luck, it will affect the wins and losses so much. It's not that they're due. It's just everyone's wrong about how good they are. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, absolutely. Almost like looking at that roulette wheel when they show 6 straight blacks showing up. It doesn't alter the odds of the next spin.
Though I would say if you see 6 straight and you had to play something, play black, because there's a chance that the wheel was wrong. If anything, that shows you how foolish the do theory is. I'm RJ Bell, straight out of Vegas. Finally, though, injuries are an example where people might vaguely understand, oh, they had a bunch of injuries. But it affects the results so much more than people think, that they think, oh, the Eagles were almost a playoff team. And it's like, no. If they were healthy, they would have been so much better than that. And yeah, people are adjusting, but not enough. The Eagles are much better than that. And that's really the main driver, you'd say.
Yeah,
right?
They won 9 games last year. They made the playoffs, even with all these cluster injuries on both sides of the ball.
AutoZone has more ways for you to get what you need when you need it with their free same-day pickup. You can place your order online and grab what you need today at more than 5,700 AutoZone locations. You can do that in-store or curbside. Visit AutoZone.com today to start your job fast. Get in the zone. AutoZone. So, Peter King, you disagree. He's got the Eagles 15. You got them 7. Raiders, he had 8th. You had 24. Tampa, he had 5th. You had 12th. All right. You had a best bet you were contemplating yesterday. Just live on air, no promotion. You've won 10 straight best bets in front of the world. So you're putting it at risk here. Now, when does this Giants game settle?
It's a season win, January 1st.
So no risk. I love it. I love the strategy. Dirtiest player in the game. You've decided to make it official. It will be a best bet.
Yes. New York Giants under 6.5 wins, lay minus $1.35. Giants strength of schedule last year, cupcake strength of schedule, easiest in the league this year, second hardest. And I got to tell you, brand new coach in Joe Judge, not going to have a lot of practice time to be ready for the season. I think the Giants are up against it going under 6.5 wins.
So they won 4. 6.5 implies, oh, they're going to be a lot better. But that's typical if you either win a lot of games or lose a lot of games, that the theory is you're going to regress to the middle. You're saying a major factor is changing their strength of schedule. It's so big. Is that like the main reason?
That is the number one reason.
And because of that, it's season win total under 6.5. You got to lay some extra vig. That's Steve Fezzik. Okay, last thing. And we'll get into this tomorrow too. Steve's back. Trevor Lawrence on ESPN, there was a discussion. If you were drafting from every person on the planet, you could pick Elon Musk, whatever. My quarterback, 3rd pick, Elon Musk. It was Mike Tannenbaum. Didn't really win a lot with the Jets, did he? Well, Tannenbaum said if he was picking my 2nd pick, I'd take Mahomes. The 2nd pick of every quarterback on the planet. Russell Wilson, nah. Lamar Jackson, nah. Trevor Lawrence. I think that Peter King, I thought, would win the crazy. No. All right, we're back tomorrow. We'll continue this conversation and more. We told you the odds. Next up, the odd couple.